Think about this. I've been holding it in, now I'm letting it flow. What you think about this? I'm gonna do my own thing, yeah, I'm flying so low. So don't tell me how it's gonna be on my own. And the thing of it is, there's nothing down here that I'm gonna miss. Cause you're holding me down, I just wanna fly. And there comes a time when I gotta stay.
Radio. Welcome to my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, featuring my castmates Veronica Escobar Winters and Ty Jordan. All season long, we'll be discussing real topics that matter to you from a real and free perspective: spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health and well-being. Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in live at 323-693-3043 or by clicking on the link posted on my Sade Champagne social media pages. You can always listen back on demand and download every episode on iTunes. Spirit and Soul. Spirit and Soul. Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne. You're listening to Grind Hard Radio.
Good evening, everyone. That was Vanessa Hudgens with Promise. Welcome to episode 11 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. We are getting closer and closer to our season one finale. Only two more episodes, not including tonight's show. Thank you to the Quakes for helping me to create and produce our theme song and also singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. Thank you so much to Kata Mafiaso from Grindhard Radio for helping me to create and produce our radio drop. This 13-episode, 60-minute-ish long show will focus on spiritual, mental, emotional health, and well-being, and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I will be sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe and why I believe this way, and sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We'll be discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, depression, panic, and so much more. We'll be speaking life into you and your dreams, encouraging your heart, and praying for your every need. I'll be featuring my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors throughout the season. Every episode will be available on iTunes. Search Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I am so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you're tuning in from around the globe. All episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional treasure finder. I find the golden treasure that is already in every person, and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my voice, music, creativity, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I am a receiver and giver of grace. I am very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. The title of tonight's episode is The Truth About Money and Giving. This was such a frustrating area of my life where I experienced and saw so much abuse. I will be forever grateful unto God for how He freed me from this religious disaster and showed me the truth. Now I can freely do what I've always dreamed of, give and share with God, myself, and the world without limitations. God is good and not manipulative. Life with Him is not a business deal. It is a life-giving friendship, partnership, and loving family. On this episode, Ty Jordan is bringing his final Grace Fit segment of the season. We'll have a new story time and Mythbuster segment. I'll be sharing more words of life and taking another celebration break. At the end of every episode, I'll be taking your prayer requests and praying for any additional needs I feel on my heart for you. Plus, we'll be giving away more prizes and gifts. Since the topic of tonight's show is the truth about money and giving, I want to give two people who have been struggling in this area and who've been struggling to trust God in the area of money and finances with one of my most favorite books by one of my favorite authors and most favorite speaker in the world, Bertie Britz, his new book, Jesus is the Tithe. This book is phenomenal, and he really breaks down in so many different ways why God is the one who provides for us and what it means to say that Jesus is our tithe. Stay tuned in tonight and follow my Facebook and Twitter pages to see when and how you can win two of these books by Bertie Britz, Jesus is the Tithe. As you know, I'll be continuing to give away fun prizes and gifts all season long. My Poverty Dream Tour is always booking new shows and performances. I'm gearing up for some wonderful speaking engagements. This weekend, I'm going to be with Friday Night Live, the Ventura County chapter, and this is an amazing youth program that helps to promote sober living, so helping kids to not drink alcohol and not do drugs and to just live a sober and clean life. And so I'm going to be one of the phenomenal workshop leaders at their annual youth conference this upcoming Saturday, so I'm super honored to be doing that. And this spring, on my tour and other performances and speaking engagements, I'm going to be in San Luis Obispo, Ventura County, Orange County, Kern County, LA County, Fresno, and more. I love traveling, and so does my team, and if you're looking to bring me, Power of a Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. @gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see our full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio again very soon with The Quakes, whom you heard earlier on my theme song. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can get involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. Once again, that's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram, I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Spirit and Soul, or GHR, to join in the conversation. And shout out to everybody. You tweet me, Facebook me, Instagram me, YouTube me, email me, message me every single week, and I am forever grateful unto you and your support. We're going to get right into our first segment, Story Time. This is where I share stories from my life. People can argue Bible verses and theology with you all day long, but no one can take away what God has done for you. Tonight, I want to share a bit of my story and my journey to living in contentment and peace concerning money and finances. Ever since I was a little girl, when Jesus first revealed himself to me through dreams and visions that I'm living today, I have always dreamed of being able to share my life and all that I have with others. Always. I knew ever since I was young, I wanted to build homes. I wanted to help feed the homeless. I wanted to help clothe people. I wanted to give everything that I had and everything that I could to be able to benefit others and to share with our world and see others impacted in powerful, positive, and mighty ways. So that's something I knew. So I believe that from a young age, God made me very generous and very open to sharing myself and my life with others. The funny thing is, growing up in church, growing up in traditional religion, I started to think differently about money. I started to feel less than. I started to feel not always worthy and valuable if I didn't have as much as others. Money was made such a huge deal that I felt like people couldn't see there was so much more to us and that God was able to move in many more phenomenal and stellar ways outside of money. God is huge, you know, and his resources are endless. And therefore, we have the same access to those resources through our original design, through Christ Jesus. And so growing up, I began to start feeling a struggle in that area. And especially the more that I got into super duper religious movements of the more you give to God, the more he'll give to you. Literally, I remember times in my life where I gave so much money of what I had to the church, so much money. It wouldn't blow people's mind if you were to think about what I was making versus what I was giving. It's a miracle that I was even able to live off of anything that I had or that I made. God always made a way for me, you know, but the thing is, I didn't trust God. I don't feel like you can ever trust someone whom you think that the only way they'll love you and share their lives with you, the only way they'll give to you is if you give to them. That doesn't sound like a relationship to me. That doesn't sound like love or friendship or family. That sounds like a business deal. And there's nothing wrong with business deals, but we can't compare that to a friendship, to a family, to a partnership. And so I began learning about this God who was distant and this God who was very judgmental and this God who was always counting your wrongs and who was always basically had a tally sheet of how you handle things and how you do it, and that's what's going to depend on if I bless you and if I take care of you. The crazy thing is with this system, no matter how much you give, it's never enough. Because the more you give, quote unquote, the more you get, and then the more you need to give in order to make up for what you were given. And so you're basically always trying to chase to outgive God. And you'll hear even people preach that to this day, saying, well, you can't outgive God. You know, keep giving and God will give you more. And so I've literally witnessed people giving away their cars, giving away their houses to prove their faithfulness to God in order for God to give them something. And that sounds crazy to me because knowing God as I know him now, God is my father, God is my mother, God is my best friend, God is my brother, my sister, we are family. I don't have to do that to get from God. I can just ask. I can ask for what it is that I want. We have a relationship, and God will provide for me. He'll make a way for me. And if something looks like I didn't receive what I asked for, what I prayed for, I believe that He will wrap me up in such contentment and joy and kindness that I won't feel like I'm missing something. But this theology that I was learning, this doctrine that I was learning, this rule book, it only made me feel like I wasn't enough and like I didn't have enough. And it began to just eat away at me. I literally watched one of my best friends at the time when I was in ministry school give away his entire rent money. He gave away his entire rent money for tithes and offerings. And when he did that, he was terrified every single time. But he wanted to prove that he loved God. He wanted to prove that he was faithful. He wanted to prove that he was righteous and the perfect Christian and the perfect believer. But I just noticed it was eating away at him. He lived in a lot of anxiety. We all did. We all lived in anxiety and fear. We all lived in panic and paranoia, wondering if God was going to come through for us because we did this. We followed the rules to the T. And God always came through. He always made a way for us. But why did he do that? He didn't do it because of what we gave. God did it because we needed a place to stay. He did it because we needed food. He did it because we were in need. And God will always make a way for people who are in need. And even if you don't need, God will still continue to give unto you. It just burned me out. I was burned out. I always felt far from God. I always felt like he was angry with me. I couldn't trust God. I didn't have a close relationship. I was always sad. You just felt burned out. And I'm telling you, I would count my money to the T. Even if I had $5, I would donate at least $2 of that. If I had this, I would find a way to be able to give it away. And I started to honestly hate money. There was a time in my life when I hated money. I couldn't stand the sight of it. I felt like it was the thing that was really sucking my life from me, making me always feel less than. There never seemed to be enough of it. And here I was giving away everything I had. I was sharing everything that I had, and I no longer could enjoy it and think of it the way that I did when I was a little girl. All my joy was sucked away from me. All my generosity, all my peace was sucked away from me. Trying to prove a point, trying to show that I was faithful, trying to be the perfect Christian. But it was never enough. Through one of the speakers that you all are hearing tonight, Bertie Britz, and many of you who have been walking with me through this journey, you've been supporting me for a long time, you know that he's my favorite speaker in the world besides Greg Henry. God used Bertie Britz and his message, The Truth About Money. This is an amazing series, and I will send it to anyone for free who wants the series. Just send me an email at shadechampagnemusic@gmail.com, and I will send you the MP3 of this series. And so God used Bertie Britz and this message series to bring such healing and freedom to my life. I will never be the same, ever, ever. I feel so much more gladness, peace, and rest in my soul when I begin to see, like, wow, God will give to me because he loves me, because he's good, because he knows that I'm in need. Wow. God will make a way for me. I'm more valuable to him than the sparrows and the birds, than all of the creatures he has created. We as human beings are his most valuable possession. Through Jesus, I don't have to live with a impoverished mindset, and I will have more than enough, and I can just enjoy money and share it with others. I started feeling again what I felt as a little girl, and it has been the most amazing thing. My life in grace now is phenomenal. I listened to that message series by Bertie almost 100 times, I'm sure, over the years, because I've been in grace now since about 2012, walking in grace and in this new journey of my life of freedom from religion and fear and anxiety and depression and living a life more based on relationship and spirituality and intuition and consciousness. And I'm so thankful. My life in grace now is wonderful. I don't have to feel guilty because I'm not giving the way that I used to according to the world standards or according to religion standards. But I know now I give much more than I ever could have. Now I feel like a fountain instead of a drain. Now I'm a never-ending well. I'm able to share with everyone however I want to. And it's just because I am love. I don't give to get. I give because I have become love, because I'm free, because I'm glad, because I would burst if I didn't share all that I have with the world. And I'm so thankful for that. God is the one who has done this for me. Jesus is the one who has set me free. He's given me such a healthy and free perspective on finances. And it all boils down to that. God will make a way for me because God is good and because I am valuable to God. And Jesus paid for anything that could ever be required of me or any other person in order so that we could live a free life. And God has never demanded from us. God has always supplied for us. He has supplied from the very beginning of time. And so as you're listening into tonight's show, we're going to begin to break down a lot of long-held beliefs that people have had. We're going to begin to share just some wonderful truth that has brought us a lot of freedom, because I'm telling you, if you don't have freedom in the area of money, you are living in chains in 90 to 95% of your life, because money controls everything in our world system. So we cannot afford to not live in freedom in this area. If I believe that Jesus took care of and provided everything for me, including eternal life, including gladness, hope, rest, forgiveness, everything, my dreams, everything from physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, that means that money is included. God also provides money for us. He knows what is needed in this world system. He's able to bring true healing to us in this area, so we don't have to live in fear and stinginess anymore, and fake generosity and fake humility. So really listen in to the segments tonight, and it's going to bring a lot of clarity to you, and I think it's going to challenge all of us in wonderful ways, but it's going to help to bring us so much joy and rest in our souls, and it's been needed. I want to end this story time segment by playing one of my favorite songs by my all-time favorite inspirational artist, Godfrey Bertil. This is his song, We've Gone, a.k.a. Beep Beep. I can never go back to the dysfunction, fear, anguish, rage, and despair I was living in. Once God sets you are free indeed. This song is hilarious, but the words are super powerful and so true.
We can't go. back to hierarchy. I can't go back to those in crowd parties. Can't go back to that malarkey now. I can't go back to dead religion. I can't go back to beer's rhythm. I can't go back. We've tasted heaven now. We just had enough and got on this bus to glorious Jesus. We can't go far out and we can't go back. Big. We can't go far out and we can't go back. Big. We can't go far out and we can't go back. It's a one-way ticket on the ancient track.
You're listening to Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment is Grace Fit with Ty Jordan. We've enjoyed having him on the show this past season. Join Grace Professor, Functional Medicine Practitioner, Speaker and Entrepreneur Ty Jordan as he shares practical and spiritual tools that aid you to recover your true self. Hashtag Grace Fit to ask him questions and join in the conversation.
Hey Sade, and hello guys, and thank you for joining me on my latest Grace Fit segment. And I'm a little sad because this is my last segment of the season. The topic that I'm actually going to get into is on money and giving. And it's interesting that the topic for this show is on money and giving because of a incident that happened earlier. And it was referencing money, you know, tithing in the church. And some of the responses that I saw on the social media posts, it was so unloving, coming from an unloving place. And you actually had Christian people on these posts, you know, if you disagree with tithing, it was like you're now labeled a stingy demon. Like, I shared my stance, my beliefs on giving and how I give and from the foundation of how I give. And I was called, I said, the person told me to stop lying on God. And they called the people who try to use scripture to not support tithing as stingy demons. And I was like, wow, how can you say that? How can you say that about a people or a person that you do not know? This person did not know me. They don't know my heart. They don't know that my heart is full of generosity. They don't realize that. But anyway, moving along. So if I sound passionate about this subject, that's why. It frustrates me to the point where the way people love each other and the way people come at each other, I don't like to see that. You know, I'm not frustrated with people, but it's more so like the beliefs that make us act the way we act towards one another. That's unloving for him to say that, stop lying on God. So you saying I'm lying on my dad, on my papa? Like, who? No. Okay, anyway. So today's show, we're going to be talking about money and giving, specifically talking about how giving can only be called giving within the context of a healthy, happy, and loving relationship. So I want to pose you guys with some questions. What makes for a healthy relationship? What makes for a happy relationship? And what makes for a loving relationship? Throughout the last couple of episodes, we talked about how, you know, building healthy relationships and how you have many different types of relationship. You have friendship, business-type relationships. You have romantic relationships, you have relationship with food, you have a relationship with your emotions, with your thoughts, with your faith, with God. And so we have to take in consideration, and you have, oh, and also yourself. We are in relationship with ourselves. And I want to really, really touch home with the fact that when you're talking about money and giving, guess what? You are at the center of you giving, or if it's going to be labeled as giving. And I'll kind of explain that a little bit in detail, what I mean by you are at the center of when you exchange something. Is it going to be called giving, or is it going to be called manipulation, or is it going to be called ignorance? And I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. Okay, so what makes a relationship healthy is the substance of it, ingredients. You know, it's no different than if you eat healthy or if you choose to eat unhealthy foods that causing diseases or the lack of the vitamins and the minerals and the trace minerals and all these different things, the polyphenols, the vitamin C's and all of that. And that's actually proven, you know, when there's a deficiency in vitamin C, you have different, you know, disease. When there's a deficiency in certain elements, then you have disease. But anyway, there's a few ways we can look at what makes for a healthy relationship. When I say you can actually be in an unhealthy relationship with yourself, for instance, you know, like when you go shopping and you just buy something to be buying something, and you say, well, that makes me feel better when I go spend my money, but at the end, and there's going to be like this sadness or this unfulfillment, like I didn't need it, or but something led you to that, like almost like impulse, like impulsive buyers. And consumers bank on that. You know, I've been in retail for over 10 years, and it's like, hey, you know the items that's right up at the cash register, you know, those things are point of purchase right in your face, boom. And it gets people to impulse buy. What it means is not to associate logic with their decision making. So the logic is and the reasoning is out. So basically, you're emotionally making a decision by emotion. And I feel like oftentimes the church does that well, where it leads people into this emotional-based type of exchanging of some money. I'm not going to say giving because, again, giving is only called giving when it's in the context of a healthy, happy, and loving relationship with yourself and the object of whatever you're giving to. Again, you can exchange some money all day long. You can exchange some hugs and kisses. You can exchange some sex. You can exchange some service, some type of service, some type of business service, whatever. You can exchange some duty in the church. You can exchange some type of honorable or noble act of service. But if it's not coming from a healthy, happy, and loving relationship with yourself and that object of whatever that you're giving to, then it's not giving. And a few things we can take note is that when we give, also there's going to be some type of level of comfort. We're going to be comfortable when we give. Anyone who knows about giving up some money in a church or paying up some money in church knows that feeling I'm talking about, you know, right before the benediction. Okay, it's almost time to take up the second offering, and you're going to be challenged with a big amount. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I already gave my money. I got the rest of the week. I didn't buy groceries. I still have a couple of bills I got to pay. But then this person is telling you to challenge your faith. But guess what? The Bible says, let each man give as it has been purposed in his heart. What does that sound like? That sounds like God to you. Like God does that. God, before God gave, something was already at work in his heart. He is love. God is love. So no one had to pressure God into giving Jesus. No one had to say, God, we're going to stretch your faith now. So Jesus is your best. He's your best. So I need you to stretch your faith. You're going to feel uncomfortable. It's not going to be pleasant. You're going to hurt a little bit. Stretch your faith and do it. No. That wasn't at work with God. God was happy, pleased, loved his decision by sending Jesus to the extent that he sent Jesus. So what does it mean to, when it says for God so loved the world that he gave, to the extent that he gave? Giving would only be giving to the extent that we see that we are already living a blessed, happy, healthy, and we're being taken care of by our Heavenly Father, that we are actually being taken care of. That's what it means to give. So if I'm giving to somebody, or if I'm giving to a work of the ministry, or if I'm giving my time, or if I'm giving my efforts and my resources and my energy, then guess what? It's going to be done from a place that I'm already blessed. Listen, I don't need nothing from you, brother. I don't need anything from you. I'm already happy. I don't even need anything from God because, listen, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm being taken care of. I'm not helping you move furniture so that God can in turn send somebody my way to move my furniture when I'm moving, right? I'm not helping someone put down some money on a car or helping someone pay a bill simply because I'm saying, okay, God is going to return that favor to me. That's not giving. That's coming from a place of, again, we're in relationship with ourselves. We're in relationship with money. We're in relationship with other people. That's, to me, is manipulative. Me doing something for you in order to get something from you. A few other things. All right, here's a list of a few things that we can do in a healthy or an unhealthy way. We can eat in an unhealthy way. I kind of went over that a little bit. We can argue or disagree in a healthy or unhealthy way. There's a healthy way to argue and disagree, and there's an unhealthy way to argue and disagree. Another one, bending down to lift something. There's a healthy way that we bend down. That's what healthy and unhealthy is referring to when I say if it's an unhealthy association with giving. Guess what? It's not giving or some type of an exchange, some type of money or giving of something. That's not giving. Okay? We can communicate in a healthy or unhealthy way. If I'm raising my voice, if I'm getting loud, or if I'm being condescending, or if I'm putting you down, then guess what? That's not communicating correctly. And we know in Corinthians, the word there when it talks about the church communicating their gift, they're communicating their gift. There's a way that they gave their gift, all right? So that's just a few things right there. And also, listen, we are as we ought to be. That's the bottom line. We are as we ought to be. If you're in a relationship with money and are insecure in who you are, if you believe that who you are is connected to your socioeconomic status, then guess what? You're going to have, it's not going to be given what you're doing. Giving should be in the context of love. Giving should be in the context of love. Giving is not a behavior, and money is not a tool to control with or manipulate. Another thing, too, is we find that we want to do or be a good Christian. So typically when we give, it's in conflict between who we are and what we want to do, who we are and what we think we know a proper Christian should be. I'm out of time. I just want to reiterate some things. Listen, we give on the foundation of we're happy, we're blessed, God is providing for us, that we lack nothing, that we have all sufficiency in Him, in His grace. We grace give. We give from our passions of our heart. We don't give out of law, out of obligation, out of demands. No, because that's not how our Savior was given to us. God gave Himself to us freely. Thank you, guys. And again, you can reach me on social media, Ty Jordan, Facebook, or TY1 Jordan. Love you guys.
Our next segment of the night is called Mythbusters. This is where we begin to explore and break down long-held beliefs that I believe actually make it hard for us to experience the love of God that was given as a free gift when He created us and through Jesus. Not only can believing lies about God affect our relationship and belief in Him, believing lies can affect how we feel about ourselves and others. We were created to live in freedom, love, grace, hope, courage, boldness, confidence, determination, compassion, clarity, and peace. Myths and lies mess with the flow of our original design. Disclaimer, and this applies to every single episode of Spirit in Soul. I am not trying to convince anybody of anything. I am simply enjoying my life with God and sharing all that I receive with others. And if this is not for you, that's okay. I won't be offended. I will continue to be myself and encourage you anyway. I accept you and love you as you are. On this Mythbusters, I want to share these clips by my favorite speakers, mentors, and inspirations, Greg Henry and Bertie Britz. Greg's clip is titled, Tithing in Truth, and I titled Bertie's clip, Living in Contentment, I'm Already a Success.
But before we take up the offering, I don't do this every week, but I just felt this week to talk a little bit about tithing, because, you know, we've confused giving with tithing. And what we've done is we've made giving tithing. And tithing is not giving, and giving is not tithing. And what we've done is we've robbed the church from the ability to give from generosity. We've robbed the church from the ability to give from a desire in their heart to give. And what we've done is we put them under some system where we say, now you give 10% to God, that's you tithing, so that then God can then bless you or continue to bless you. Listen, if you really believe that's how it works with God, put that into place with your children. Okay? Have them give 10% of their dinner to you so that you'll give them breakfast. Have them give 10% of your clothes or give 10% of their bed to you so that you'll continue to put a roof over their head. If you really believe that's how it goes with God, that we must give God 10%, and you really think that's what tithing is in order for God to take care of us, then put that at work with your kids and see how long it'll be before the social workers come. You see, when we say it like that, we say, well, I would never do that. But that's what we say God does. And then what we do is we make ourselves more righteous than God. We say we will treat our kids better than he will treat us. And then we don't understand what we're saying or what we're doing. But listen, tithing in the Old Testament had nothing to do with us giving God something. It had to do with God providing us with life. When you look at Deuteronomy 14, when it talked about tithing, it said to bring the tithe into the place where God has placed his name and eat it. You brought the tithe to the place where God would place his name, and then you would eat the tithe. You partook of the tithe. You didn't give it to God, man. You brought it to the place he set his name, and then you ate it. Okay? Now, this was teaching the children of Israel that God was their food for life and not the works of their own hands. If we say God will bless us because we give money, then we're making the works of our own hands our food for life instead of Jesus, whom God said he gave all things to us freely in Jesus. Everything except money. Listen, man, we didn't give God some 10% of our money to get him to send Jesus. We didn't do anything to get God to provide Jesus to us. We didn't give God some offering. We didn't come together and pray enough. We didn't give him 10% of what we had in the world to get him to provide Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. When you look in Exodus 16, when the manna was poured out, it was a picture of Jesus, the bread of life. God was demonstrating to the children of Israel that he was their provision for life, that he was their food for life. And look what God told Moses. He said, take an omer of that manna and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, in order that this omer of manna would then testify to the children of Israel for all time that I am their food for life and not the works of their own hands. Now, when you go look up that word omer, it's a funny thing. It's a tenth of an epaph. It's a tenth. So God said, take a tenth of the manna, put it in the Ark of the Testimony, so that that tenth of the manna could then testify to all the people for all time that I am their food for life. Now fast forward to the New Covenant, guys. What is this thing revealed in the Old Covenant? What does it look like in the New Covenant? Where is the place that God has placed his name in the New Covenant? You and I. We are the place that God has placed his name. He has come and surnamed all of us in the person of Jesus. He has come and called all of us his sons and his daughters in the person of Jesus. So tithing would be for us to allow God to surname us by feeding on Jesus as the bread of life. So if we want to partake of the tithe, let us abide in Jesus and partake of him as the only truth about our life. And then when we feed on Jesus as the bread of life, that's actually what tithing is. That's actually what tithing is. He is our food for life. We are the place that God has placed his name. So if we want to participate in the tithing that was spoken about in the Old Testament, let us abide in Jesus as the only truth about our life and the only word about whether our Father will take care of us instead of our own ability to give some money. So when we think of tithing, let our conscience be washed clean from this carnal mindset of what we do to get God to now take care of us, of what we do to now get God to bless us. And let our minds be filled with tithing, and let our minds always now go to feeding on Jesus as the only report of who we are and what the Father has always thought of us. And let us abide in that word. And again, guess what? People will find something in their heart that tells them they have all sufficiency and they lack nothing in Christ, and they'll find something coming out of them called generosity. And they'll find that just as the Father gave freely when He didn't get anything from us, they'll find something in their heart just like the Father thought. They'll find His life born in them, and then they'll give from generosity because they want to give something freely. Oh, man. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's like the last stumbling block that wants to be kicked over. It's beyond me how we don't see it. So, especially in the grace, we say over here that we don't do anything to get from God, and then we don't see over here that we actually say that we get things from God by what we do with our own hands. That's idolatry. It's idolatry to worship the works of your own hands. So if I say, God will provide for me, God will take care of me, if I do this with my own ability, that's idolatry. That's idolatry, guys. Let our conscience be washed clean of the connection between tithing and money. When we think of tithing, let us think of Jesus as the bread of life, okay? And then, if we find generosity born in our heart and we want to give toward a good cause, we want to give toward something that blesses us in our hearts, then let us give, and let us give out of the abundance that we have, that we know we have in Jesus. Glory to God.
Listen, pastors, I want to tell you, do you want to know what it is to have a ministry that's born of God? Where the worship leader worships because of passion in the heart and not to be seen by people. Where the money that comes in is peace money, man. Or money that promotes peace. It's money of peace. Money that comes out of the nature of God. But the peace money we have now is so that there can be peace in the hearts of people if they give. But we don't want that type of a money of peace. We want the money that comes as a result of peace. And that's what Paul said. He said, listen, if people give to me, is that wrong? He says, no, it's not wrong. He says, a farmer lives off what he does. This is what I do. So if people come and freely give to me, then I will receive it, and that is not wrong. That's all he said. He didn't say, I've got a right to take off from you. He didn't say that. And we're going to look at those scriptures still. And I want to explain that. Because we always thought, well, you know, the pastor has got a right to have money from his people. That's a lie, my friend. The right that he talks about there is the right to receive it if they freely want to give it. He's got the right to receive it then. Because that's not wrong. For that is what he does. That's how he lives. Whenever Paul went to a place, he first prepared himself. He went there with something that he's going to do for money. That's how he went. He didn't go there, it's so wonderful. If he can go and preach at a place, and you don't worry, you know, what are they going to give me? Well, I'm invited. You know, if somebody invites me to go and preach something, you know what's the first thing that comes into my mind is? I'm paying the ticket. That comes to my mind. That's how I think, you know. And then they say, but you. And then if I don't have the money to pay the ticket, then I tell him, listen, man, I can't pay the ticket. Can you pay the ticket? If he says he cannot, then he says, let God provide for us, then we'll come. Isn't it? And if that thing hasn't happened, I'm not going to feel I'm not a success. Yeah. We've arranged the crusade, and then something happened that can't happen. Now I feel I'm not a success. No. Rest then. Isn't it wonderful? You can't become more successful than what you are. We are not chasing success. We are just preaching the success of the cross. I mean, what I do, I'll do for the rest of my life. I'm just sharing the gospel, believing the good news of God, enjoying His love. Sometimes there will be thousands of people, sometimes there will be one. Sometimes I will just meditate upon my bed, thinking of the love of God. I've reached my top already. So now I can live like a successful person. Isn't it? I can live like a successful person. I'm not living like a person seeking success. Live like a person that is already successful. Amen. That's why it says, walk worthy of your calling. Hallelujah. Walk like somebody that believes that he is loved of God.
I want to end this Mythbusters segment by playing another one of my favorite songs by my favorite artist, Godfrey Bertil, I'm Still Here. This song is phenomenal. We are always taught this huge erroneous myth that we are far from God, and that what we say and do and the things we experience in this world can separate us from His love, from His presence, and from His life. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling financially today, if you're struggling with debt and you feel just overwhelmed by money and worry and fear in that area, it can never define and determine who you really are. You are still so loved by God. God is right there with you in the fire, in the circumstance, in your challenge, in this heartache. And God is bringing you through, and He is healing you. He has not left you. So really listen into these lyrics and really listen into the song and understand that God is always for you.
When the outpouring gets pouring, I'm still here. When your revival dries up, I'm still here. And when Sunday turns to Monday, I remain the same. Yesterday and today and forever. When the decant event is spent, I'm still here. And when the conference is just nonsense, I'm still here. When the academy just wants your money, I say the price is paid. Yesterday and today and forever. I'm still here when they say I'm not here. I'm still here. I'm still here when they're calling to me, come down. I'm all around. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Leave you all or take you, no matter where.
you there, I'm with you here, and that's that.
Our next segment of the night is Words of Life. This is where I speak words of affirmation over you, your dreams, your loved ones, and your life. We will be featuring this segment with new words of affirmation every single episode because with all the cynicism and pessimism that tries to drown us, we can afford to hear the truth as thin as possible. I believe in the power of words because I have seen negativity, criticism, and discouragement tear people down. I have seen encouragement lift people's spirits and alter the very course of their destinies. What we hear and listen to are what will be birthed in our hearts, and it will definitely affect what we believe, think, and feel. Play this as many times as you need to and allow yourself to just soak in not only this segment, but the entire episode. You are the best investment you will ever make.
God will always make a way and provide for me. I am the beloved of God. I can count on God to come through for me every single day. God does not demand from me. God supplies to me. God is my provision. Provision is who God is. As surely as there is provision for Jesus and he is seated beside God on the throne, surely there is provision for me. I can trust in God to come through for me every single day. I do not have to earn the love, favor, or goodness of God. I cannot earn anything from God. Jesus has already earned it for me. God never designed me to earn from him, but to live in family relationship. God designed me to be able to trust and rest in his goodness. The presence of God flows through my being. I'm able to relax and rest in the presence of God. I can trust God and be myself. My life is a prayer, and prayer is simple for me. I can pray however I want to, feel, and need to, or desire, because God says that I can be myself. God is healing my mind, my body, my heart, my spirit, and my being from all the abuse I have experienced in my life pertaining to money, finances, stress, and worry. God is revealing to me the truth of who he is and who I am and who others are. I am content. I am grateful. I live in gratitude because I know how valuable I am to God. I trust God to make a way for me and be everything that I need. Whatever I need, whatever I want, whatever I long for, whatever I desire, God will be that for me. God will provide for me. God has already said yes to me when he created me. God has already said yes to me through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. God will always choose me. I am God's dream come true. Every day of my life is a miracle. I am blessed. I am highly favored. Regardless of what I'm going through, I can walk in peace. I can walk in joy. I do not live in fear. Fear is not my master. Even when I am afraid, I still keep living. I open up when I am struggling. I do not internalize my emotions. I am not afraid to feel. I am not afraid to have emotions. By the grace of God, I am able to process through all of my emotions in a healthy way. My relationships and my companionships are healthy and are life-giving. I am a fountain and not a drain. Everyone in my life are fountains and not drains. I am exactly where I need to be. I am exactly who I need to be. God is bringing me exactly where I need to go. God is bringing whomever and whatever is needed to fulfill every day of my life to me.
Now,
I want to take some time to pray for you and your family. As you know, I do this every single week. I believe in the power of prayer. God hears even the prayers and things we don't say. I want to stand with you and your loved ones for every need and care in your heart. If it matters to you, then it matters to me and it matters to God. He is constantly at work, bringing everything together, healing you and restoring your life so that you will transcend every and any kind of struggle you could face in this world. So we have a lot of anonymous prayer requests that were sent in to me today, so I'm going to be reading them and praying for the person as after I read it. So first up, I want to pray for a very precious friend of mine who is having a breakdown. Right now she's struggling emotionally and mentally. She's struggling a lot in her inner being. And so, Father God, I thank you for my precious sister. I thank you that you are the God who heals, that you are the same God who healed me from things in my life that I've been through. You're the same God I've seen heal so many countless people, which they are, you count them, but for me it would be impossible to be able to count all those people, but you know every single one of their names, and you have brought healing to them, and I thank you for quickening her and her spirit even right now. Thank you for renewing her joy. Thank you for renewing her life and giving her a brand new beginning. Thank you so much for just clearing her mind and her brain. Thank you that her mind is able to function healthily. Thank you that she doesn't feel attacked by thoughts and by things that she's been through. Thank you that you're just bringing healing to her subconscious. Thank you that you're helping her to see you as you really are and to know your great love for her. Thank you that you're just bringing restoration to her in every single area of her life. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that you're providing for her financially. Thank you that you are bringing her around people who are full of your love and grace and who understand her, who can support her. Thank you that you're fulfilling the dreams in her heart. Thank you, Jesus. Another one says, anonymous, hey, sis, can you pray for me? Finances, being content in all and through, even through my trials and tribulations. Also, I feel far from my dreams and passion. Father God, I thank you for this wonderful, beautiful sister. I thank you so much that you are awakening her to how valuable she is to you, that as I shared earlier in the show, that she is more precious to you than all the sparrows, all the birds, any creature that you have ever created. Human beings, we as human beings are your greatest creation, and we are your dreams come true. I thank you so much that you are providing for her every single day and in every single way. Thank you that you're empowering her through every trial and tribulation, that she's always able to see you and know that she's loved and cared for. I also thank you that you are making a way for her and her dreams and her passions. Thank you that you are opening doors every single day, and you are fueling that fire in her heart. Every single day she's able to move forward somehow, some way in her dreams and passions. Thank you that you are aligning her with other like-minded people. Thank you that you're providing the resources that she needs. Thank you that you're taking care of every single care and desire in her heart. This one is also anonymous. It says, I would like anonymous prayer. I no longer work. I was a hairstylist, a barber for 30 years, and I had to quit last March due to the pain in my back from all the years of standing and bending and arthritis. I thank God for my husband. He is able to provide just enough for us to get by, but I would love to see him get to use all of his talents more in the field he is in. There seems to be a block for him to go further. Right now he is a junior programmer / network administrator. And there's a possibility for him to be a senior programmer, which would bring him more money, but they are not having him program. He only did one program job, and he far exceeded their expectations. He did a fantastic job. I hope this isn't too long. Anyways, whatever you feel led to pray for him, it would be appreciated. Thank you and love you. You are the sweetest. Also pray that God helps me to lose weight. That's one dream I've had for a while. All right. Father God, I thank you so much for this beloved friend of mine. I thank you that you are making a way for her and her husband. Thank you so much that you are opening the doors for him to be able to use his talents in the field where he is passionate about. And thank you that you are opening whatever blocks there have been, whatever door or whatever hindrances that have been in the way. I thank you that you have moved those out of the way and that you are opening the right doors for him. Thank you that you are providing for them financially in brand new ways. Thank you that you're bringing a support system around them. I thank you for encouragement for this family, that you're renewing their joy, bringing them encouragement. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing them encouragement and you're renewing their joy. Thank you so much that they know that they know. God wants you to know that you are valuable to God, that regardless of how people treat you or wherever you feel like things are happening in your life, it can never speak about your value and your worth. You are in the same value to God as Jesus is, seated on the throne in heavenly places. And so you are like a king and queen to God. He adores and loves you so much. Cares for you in every single way. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, so much that you are helping my friend to be able to have a healthy relationship with her body and with food and being able to balance out whatever if she needs to be able to lose weight for health reasons. I thank you that you are opening the doors for that to be able to happen naturally and holistically. Thank you that it won't be from a place of stress, but it will be from a place of rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it will all be from a place of rest and she'll be able to love how she looks in all seasons and that all of her healthiness will come from that deep confidence and security in who you've created her to be, that it will be from overflow. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing this beautiful family. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me look at a couple more. All right, let me see. I'm literally getting messages, guys, as this is happening. So I am reading them, and so you might hear my phone beeping because people are literally sending me in prayer requests, and they're calling into the show. All right, let me see. Also, Margie says, sign me up for the prayer, girlfriend. Up until now, my career has seemed at odds with my dreams. I can see that God is up to something, though. Thank you, Sade. All right, Father God, I thank you so much for Margie. I thank you that you are combining her career and her dreams. Thank you that you have opened brand new doors for her. Thank you that you are fulfilling this desire in her heart. She knows what it is and you know what it is. Thank you that you are able to bring that to pass in her and through her and for her. Thank you that she's not going to feel like they're two totally separate different things, but you're either going to combine them together, or thank you for even opening the door for her to make that transition into what she loves full time and financially. And I also thank you that she's able to see that you are always up to something and making a way for her. Thank you that you are working it out for her. All right. To anyone who's listening into the show, if you have a prayer request, if you're in need of encouragement and you are listening in, if you have already called into the show, just press 1 and I will bring you into the show and we can chat and you can share with me what your prayer requests are and I can pray for you live on air. Feel free to send me a message as well, which I think people are sending me messages. Let me look and see. All right. So if you have a prayer request, you're free. Welcome to just press 1 if you're already listening into the show, and then I can bring you in to be able to pray for you or encourage you. All right. Also, Stephen sent me a message or a comment. He said, I need a financial breakthrough, and Grizzly Youth Academy Ministries is also in need of a new projector. Thank you for lifting up these prayers. So to anyone listening, if you happen to have a projector or you have access to one or resources that you could provide for Grizzly Youth Academy Ministries, please let me know, and I will send this message to my friend Stephen. They are in need of a new projector. And I thank you, God, that you hear this prayer as well and that you are making a way for these precious students at Grizzly Youth Academy and for the Pastor Stephen there. And I thank you for opening up doors for him financially. I'm not sure exactly what it is he wants to do. Well, I know what he wants to do full-time within preaching and ministering and just encouraging others with your great love, Jesus. Thank you that you are opening up the doors for him to be able to do that full-time. Thank you that you're bringing in financial donors for him, that you're bringing in sponsors and people who can encourage him, bless him, and speak life to him. Thank you that you're making a way for Stephen and that you are restoring his joy and his peace. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. If you, once again, anyone who's listening or you are on my social media, if you have any prayer requests, if you need any encouragement, let me know, and I will be sure to be praying for you, and I'll lift it up right now on the show. All right. I do see someone has just messaged me about their prayer request. Let me read it. Hold on, everyone. This is literally happening live, so I want to make sure you all know. All right. I'm going to keep this one as a anonymous request because they sent me a message. All right. So right now, this one says, prayer request. Pray for my 15-year-old son for salvation and favor. Pray his heart to be softened to God and continue to be surrounded by Christian mentors. All right. I'm lifting you up right now, sweetheart. Father God, I thank you so much for this wonderful son. I thank you so much that you are opening his heart to be able to receive your love and your grace. Thank you so much that you're watching over him every single day. Thank you so much for awakening his heart to receive who you are and who you say that he is. Thank you that you protect him every single day wherever he goes, that you are literally opening his heart, that you're speaking to him and he's able to hear you and receive you. Thank you that even in his friendships and his daily contact, that you are drawing them all closer to your love, that you're all awakening them to your great love and to his wonderful destiny in you. And I thank you that you're surrounding him by powerful and empowering, loving, compassionate mentors who can be able to encourage him. Thank you so much, Jesus, in Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to look to make sure there's no more prayer requests that everyone is sending to me. All right, I'm looking on right now. All right, I think we got them all. All right. Another segment that you all know we feature every episode is called Celebration Break. This is where I share testimonies from my life and ones that you share with me. And I think it's important to celebrate every victory along the way, even the little ones. As I share with you all a little bit about last week, God has been opening so many phenomenal doors with my music and being able to record in the studio. This has been a dream of mine since my very first release back in 2008. Right now it's 2017, and the doors have been open that I am now recording my brand new music in the studio. And it has been many, many years that I've been dreaming about this, and I wanted it to be the right opportunity because, as you know, a lot of artists, they want something so bad they just jump at anything, and it ends up being a bitter headache, bigger headache down the line. And I've always known that God was going to do wonderful and empowering things through me, and I knew that it was going to be bigger and larger as I was going over time. So I always wanted to make my decisions from that perspective. I don't make decisions from a small thinking perspective. I see the long run. And so God, in his wonderful wisdom and in his mercy and care for me and care for us, he's connecting me with such amazing producers whom you heard earlier in the show, The Quakes. And so I am working on my brand new single and brand new singles, I should say, more than one. And I have so many other events that are being lined up throughout this year and just a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are coming together. And so I want to encourage anyone, if you feel like your life is just a mess and you're like, everything is all out of order, none of this makes sense, I want you to know that you are exactly who you need to be. You are exactly where you need to be. God is wherever you are, and he is able to bring a miracle, and he's able to bring healing. He's able to bring restoration wherever you are. It's never too late with God. And even if you feel so destitute, you feel desperate, know that God is for you every moment of every day. He does not rest. Yes, he lives in rest, but meaning he does not sleep or slumber, meaning that he is always for you every moment of every day, working in your heart, healing you, healing your mind, healing your being, so that you can see him for who he really is, see yourself for who you really are, and see the world as such, and live from that awareness. And so I love you guys, and I'm excited for you. I'm praying for you. I know some of you have been struggling financially, but know that it's going to be okay, and God's going to make a way for you, and you are prosperous. You are already a great success.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 11 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to The Quakes for helping me to create and produce our theme song and also sing background vocals. Thank you, Kata Mafiaso from Grindhard Radio, for helping me to create and produce our radio drop. Thank you to my castmate, Ty Jordan, and special guests, Greg Henry and Bertie Britz. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Our final song of the night is Gunger with Beautiful Things. Your life may feel like a hot mess right now, but God is known for turning things around. He is known for making all things and people beautiful. We were created out of beauty. No one is ever too far gone or too messed up for God to heal. God will always make a way and provide for you. He will always give you life and supply whatever you need. Next week's episode is titled, God Doesn't Test Us or Bring Hard Times to Teach Us. I know this is a popular belief that many people have and is taught in religions and institutions all around the world. I used to believe that God was the bringer of all my hard times and pain in order to make me a better person and so that I could help others. This brought a lot of distrust and bitterness in my heart towards God and people.
God cannot be both the answer and the source of my problem. Either he is on my side or he is not. Life in this world can be tough, but life with God is supposed to be easy and shine brighter and brighter. On this episode, we'll have a new story time, Q&A, and Mythbuster segment. I'll be sharing more words of life, taking your prayer requests, and another celebration break. Plus, we'll be giving away more prizes and gifts. Thanks for listening to episode 11 of my new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and I'll see you next Monday, March 20th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Grindhard Radio.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground? Thank you.